Morning, everybody. Can you people in the back hear this okay? Okay. Before we start on our regular message that I prepared this morning, I want to read something out of the Bible. I got my big book this morning instead of just the paper. And I want to read something real quick. You know, we all know about the tragedy that happened last night. That's a horrible thing. You know, I don't think anybody comes to the track thinking their mom's going to not go home with them, at least not in one piece. But I want to read something out of the Bible, because in times like this, you know, we can't understand why things happen. Accidents happen. That's just the way this world is. It's sad that they do, but there's nothing that we can do to prevent it. But something I want to read that I want all of us to hang on to today and think about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So it says right there that our comfort comes from God. That's the only place that we can get comfort at a time like that. And there's two reasons. One, to help the people that are hurting. And then two, that those of us that have been comforted in the past can help those that need the comfort. So at this time, I want to go to our Lord in prayer, and I want to lift everybody up that's involved in this. So let's close our eyes and pray. Dear Lord God, you know the tragedy that happened here last night, Lord. It is a sad thing. Lord, we hope the lady's home with you right now, and that doesn't have any more pains, any more aches. But Father, the family's left behind, and we want to lift them up to you, Lord, at this time. They need strength. They need help. Their friends that are hurting because of this, Lord, we want to lift them up to you also. At this time, just like your scripture says, Lord, we ask that you would comfort all of them. I also want to pray for Steve and Trina. You know how hard that has hit them, Lord. Even so, it was an accident. It's really hard to deal with a situation like that. So at this time, I just ask that you would wrap your arms around them, pour your spirit out on them, Lord, and just comfort them, strengthen them in this time of need, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would put in the heart of every one of us a desire to comfort them and help them also. Stand with them in these days to just give them the strength to go through this. We don't understand why things happen, but they do. And we just thank you that you're there to help us through it. Lord, as we get ready to do our message this morning, Father, I just ask that you would speak through me, Lord, and just let us hear from your word. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. The message I have for this morning wasn't the one that I originally put together. On the way up here, I got to listen to Charles Stanley, and he inspired me to change the message that I was going to give you guys today to do a different one. That happens a lot of times. You sit down, you think you're going to put a message together, and next thing you know, God says, no, that's not the one for today. But this one is real basic. It's back to basics. And what it's about is, what is Christianity? Do you know that most people that you ask what being a Christian is, and this is people in the church, out of the church, it doesn't matter where, don't know what it is? They think they do, but they really have no clue as to what Christianity is. And when you talk to the majority, and this is something that I swiped off of Charles Stanley's sermon, do you realize that when you ask people that reject Christianity, the majority of them don't know what it is? So they're rejecting something that they don't even know what they're rejecting. That's not real smart. I mean, you would think you would want to know what you're rejecting before you do. So I just thought we'd kind of go through this a little bit this morning. There's a lot of people in churches. There's a lot of churches that nowadays don't speak the truth like they should. You know, everybody is afraid to offend everybody nowadays. You know, it's all got to be politically correct. And I'm sorry to say, but a lot of stuff about being a Christian is not necessarily politically correct, because we don't tolerate or like to see just anything. But besides that, you know, what is it all about? I mean, is it just about going to heaven or hell? Is that all Christianity is about? You know, doing right or wrong, you know, getting up every morning, well, I can't do this today, and I can't do this, and I'm not allowed to do that. Is it all about rules? You know, is it all about us just working really hard to make sure we're good enough for God, you know, that we can all eventually go to heaven? You know, some people, you know, have been in church all their lives, and, you know, you ask them, you know, when did you become a Christian? And, well, I was kind of born into it. You know, I was brought up around the church, and my dad's a pastor, and my grandpa's a pastor, and, you know, I've just always been a Christian. And I don't know that that's possible. That probably makes you say, well, wait a minute. But yeah, I don't know it's possible that you just grow up and just automatically become a Christian. Because there's something you have to do to become a Christian. Well, what is it? Well, it has to start by believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If it doesn't start there, you don't have anything. I mean, you have to make a decision to believe that. That is a choice. That is a decision. It's not something that happens by accident. You know, there has to be, at some point in time, you have to say, you know what? I believe the way I'm living ain't good enough. I believe that I'm a sinner. And because of that, man, I need somebody that pays the price for this sin, because I would like to go to heaven. And I would like to live a better life. Because it's not all just about what happens when we die and go home. It's also about living here. Do you have inner peace in your heart? When you go to bed at night, do you toss and turn? Or do you have, when you really sit down and think about it, do you have that inner peace to where you can say, you know, I'm good because I have God. Jesus is here with me. You know, it's about that also. It's not just about going to heaven. That's just the final result, which is awesome, and I'm glad it is. But it's also about the here and now. So, what is this? In order to do this, you also got to know who Jesus is. And that's where, you know, I was saying there at the beginning, you know, that a lot of people reject Christianity without knowing what it is. Well, do they know who Jesus is? Do they know what it is? I mean, all they think about is rules. Well, man, we just got a bunch of rules, and we got to do this, and we got to do that, and do this. Which, that's not what it is, because none of us can work our way into heaven. It's not about what we do. Now, the worst thing that I think we can do is make promises to God that we know we can't keep. We're just going to trip up and mess up. It's about what He does is what it's all about. So who is this Jesus that we believe in? If you want to be a Christian, who is this Jesus? Well, if we read the Bible, we know that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, so what else is He? Well, Jesus, as the Son of God, He chose to come to this earth as a person. He became 100% human. He was born as a baby, just like all of us, and He grew up. He was here on earth. He had a ministry. He ended up getting crucified with false accusations. You know, they sentenced Him to death and crucified Him, which is a horrible thing to have to die for no reason. But his death was important to us because his death, being that he was a perfect person, paid the price for the sins that we commit. So that's who Jesus is. But in doing that, he still is God also. You know, Jesus is the Son of God, and he did not get rid of his godhood. He's 100% God, 100% man. I don't know in my little feeble mind on how you can be 100% two things, but that's how the Bible teaches it, so I have to believe it. And since he's a lot bigger than I am and a lot smarter, I will believe that. And someday he'll probably reveal it to me. But then someday when I go to heaven, that's probably not going to be that important anymore, because it's going to be so awesome that I'm not even going to think about that. But now you know who Jesus is. You know he's the Son of God. I think there's nobody here that doesn't admit that at some point in their life they have sinned. I think we all have. I know I do every day still, even so I don't want to a lot of times. But we've all made mistakes. Maybe you haven't made as big of mistakes as I have. You know, maybe you just took a pencil from work or from the bank one day accidentally, or you said something mean to somebody one time. And you know, maybe my sins might be bigger than yours, but I thank Jesus for the fact that he died on the cross, because no matter how big my sins are, the fact that he died on the cross for me covers all that. So that's great. So now I know who Jesus is, but how come I can't just grow up believing in Jesus? Well, at some point in time, I have to sit there and I have to do what it says in Romans. And in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Aha, there's the catch. You have to make a decision for Jesus. You don't just automatically become a Christian. You have to make a decision. You have to say, Jesus, I need you. It goes on in verse 11. It says, you know, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what it takes. It's not an automatic thing. You can't work for it. You can't do anything like that. But how do you know that you have God in your life? You know, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says this to the Corinthians. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Wait a minute. Now we got tests going on. We're back in high school. We got tests to do. Well, how do you examine yourself? How do you look at yourself? How do you know that you're saved? Well, one is by the promises in scriptures. If I did what the scripture says, and here's what it says in 1 John. It says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. Okay, hey, there's proof. All right, I've done that, so I can believe that. Well, what else does it say? 2 Corinthians 15:2. I always like using scriptures to make my point, because the Bible can say it so much better than I can. And in 2 Chronicles 15:2, I think I said Corinthians, that was wrong. But in the second half of that verse is, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So if you seek God, you will find him. You know, God will reveal himself to you. I've said that before. You know, people say, man, it's so hard to make a decision for Jesus, because how do I know for sure that he's real? If you take that step of faith, I'm going to choose to believe this. Once you make that decision, he does reveal himself to you, and you will know without a shadow of a doubt that he is real. Now, there's even a place in the Bible that says that, you know, the stuff in the Bible is gibberish, it's paraphrased, obviously. is gibberish to people that don't know Jesus. People can't understand it, and it's kind of hard to understand. You know, you hear all this Christian talk, you know, you're covered by the blood, and you know, well, yeah, it's all true, but to a non-Christian, that sounds pretty weird. But once you make that choice, all of a sudden, this stuff makes sense. So, I hope that most everybody here has already done that and made a decision for Jesus. The people that are here that have never done it and would like to know Jesus, I would hope that they might come talk to me throughout the day today where I can explain it to them better. I know Jason right here, he'd be glad to talk to anybody that would want to talk to somebody more about this, because you got to understand it before you can make the decision. Just because somebody says you got to do this doesn't mean you can just run out and do it. You need to study it and understand it where you know the decision you're making. But for those of us that are saved, you know, have we examined ourselves? Are we trying to work our way into heaven? Are we worried about every time we get up about what we do? Because, man, we got to be good enough for God. We got to make sure that we do the right thing. And you know, I want to read one more scripture out of Ephesians. It's chapter 2, verse 8 is where it starts. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." In other words, it doesn't matter what you do. You will never be good enough to make it to heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You know, Moses had the Mosaic law that the Jews were trying to live by, and they couldn't live by it. There was no way. We all mess up, and you make one mistake, you done messed up, and you already need help. So let's remember, being a Christian is really easy. It's believing you need a Savior. It's believing you need help. And believing that Jesus died for you on the cross. That's what it is. It's not by what we do. Now, I always like to add this, because I have been places where, you know, people use that as a license to just live however they want, and they deceive themselves thinking they're Christians and they're just out there living no different than anybody else. Knowing that does not give you a license to just live however you want. It's just like anything. You want to please your Father. Well, in the same way, if we believe in Jesus, we should want to please Him. The great part about this, we're back to, it's nothing you can do. If you truly make the decision, it happens automatically. You don't have to do it. God does it. And that's the great thing with Christianity. It is the only, and I don't like using the word religion, but I'm going to use it. It's the only religion, if you want to use that term, that says it's not us. Every other religion in the world says it's you. It's what you do. It's how hard you work. It's if you do this, say that. That's not it. It's believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And with that, I would like to close. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much that you made it easy for us. It is not a hard thing to come to know you. It's a choice. It's surrendering ourselves. And that's the hard part, giving up self and saying, I need help. It's saying that I need a Savior. No matter what I do, I'm not perfect, and I need somebody to pay the price for my imperfectness, for the sins that I commit. Thank you so much for giving us that opportunity. Lord God, as we get ready to go racing this morning, Lord, I ask for protection on everybody here, Lord. Again, we want to lift up everybody involved in the tragedy last night, Lord. And just it just kind of puts a shadow over this beautiful day that you have given us. But with your comfort, we will get through it. So I thank you. Thank you for everyone that is here, Lord. Bless them now as they get ready to go and have a good time for the day. Let us remember, this is your day. Let everything that we do be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.